But work it out, walk it out, obey it, and do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the church says, Joshua chapter 3, verse 2. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. Verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow, say tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Anybody want a miracle on Monday? Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over, say cross over, before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Chapter 3, verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over, say cross over, the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan, watch this, overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over, say crossed over, opposite Jericho. Praise be to God. We, at times, go through flood zones. She was just talking about that, where sometimes you don't hear from God for a while. Sometimes you go through things, you question why you're going through them. Anybody ever had a hard time? I don't know what they promised you when you got saved, but it's not all roses. I almost said wine and roses. I don't know why. Never mind. I'll just go deeper. Life's not a bowl of cherries. And even though you're saved, it's not so much that you'll never go through anything. It's all about that whatever you go through, you'll not go through it alone. I can go through anything if I know he's with me. Come on. I just need to know he's with me. You know, basically rain is necessary and rain is good, but floods are bad. Floods are too much of a good thing. Some people don't like rain at all. The only people who like rain are people who grow things. And if you don't grow anything, I don't know that you ever like the rain. What good is it? You don't have a lawn, you don't have a garden, don't have any flowers out there. I don't know about you, but I need it to rain in my life. And when it rains, it kind of stops everything. You got to change everything. There are things come into our lives, but God is saying, even though it's rain and it's inconvenient and it may be difficult, it may even lead to floodwaters, but I'm here to tell you it. What the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. And the rain can be good. Whew. Floods are good things that went wrong. And that's really the whole story of man, isn't it? God created a good thing, but bad things happen. It's entered our vocabulary because people will say, I'm drowning in this, or I'm in over my head, right? We've all said things like that. I feel like I'm sinking. I was in the Navy 6 years, never did learn how to swim. Okay. Well, I mean, if that ship went down in the ocean, I mean, even if you can swim, how long can you last, right? I'll be the first one to go. Amen. I did learn how to float. I could float a little bit. How long can you do that? But I think one of my greatest fears is to drown. I think that would be a horrible way to go. Right? Anybody else got that fear where you can't touch? If you know how to swim, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you don't know how to swim and you're out in the lake or somewhere and all of a sudden you can't feel the bottom, you panic. And you want to grab somebody and drown them too. You know, they say just if somebody's drowning, just let them drown because they're going to pull you under too. But I think that's the greatest fear that just grips you. Where's the bottom and I can't swim? And that's the fear we sometimes get in life as we go through some of these things. But let's look at a couple points here as they were about to cross over the Jordan into the promised land. We are in a season, I believe. You know, next week I want to preach on anointed for more. And we're entering a season where God's going to do more. God's going to change some things in your life. Take you to new levels. And, of course, there'll be new devils. But that's okay because God's able no matter what we face. But let's look at a couple points here. First of all, notice it floods during harvest season. Floods during the harvest. It seems like harvest is the results of our life, the good things that are produced because we've been praying. We've been believing God. We've been in the Word. We've been in the house of God. And good things start happening. That's called harvest. You realize what your spiritual gifts are and you begin to minister to people. That's harvest. But isn't it interesting that it always floods during harvest season? The devil knows when to send the rain. He knows when to send the flood. It's kind of weird that God would send them over the Jordan when it was impossible to cross the Jordan. Told them to cross the Jordan at its worst possible moment. Not during the dry season, but during the rainy season, the flood season. It's never deeper, never wider. And God said, cross over. So many times he'll lead you to the impossible and tell you, go do it. When it looks the darkest, that's maybe when you ought to say, okay, I'm ready to cross over. I'm ready to do this. Anybody listening to what I'm saying? 2 Samuel verse 22, when the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Notice the water. Psalm 69, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, not just the water, but the mud under the water, where there is no standing. Remember? I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, in Revelation 12, so the serpent spewed water out of its mouth like a flood after the woman, the saints, that he may cause her to be carried away by the flood. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? It's the devil who wants to spew a flood out. You may not be experiencing what I'm preaching about right now, but I think you've been there before. If you haven't been there, it's because you've been saved 3 weeks, 3 days. You understand that we've all been in over our heads. But he helps us to cross over. Can I get an amen? Number two, God said to Joshua, listen, you need to get ready because you've never been this way before. Is there anybody willing to go where you've never gone before? That's it? Kind of happy where you're at? He says, where you're going, you've never been. I don't know about you, but I'm always excited about going somewhere in the spirit or in my life that I've never been before. Even in the natural, just going to some other country or some place I've never been before. I love that. Remember last week I was talking about when you get old, time's flying by faster? It's because you have nothing to look forward to. You've seen it all, done it all. Life's gotten kind of boring, and it just speeds up. But when you anticipate, whew, I don't know about you, but when I have a cruise ahead of me, come on, cruisers, or a vacation or whatever, how many know half the fun is anticipating, getting ready to go? I usually pack my bags about 6 weeks before I go. I'm ready to go. Gloria packs as we go out the door and frustrates the daylights out of me. Because it's a lot. Gloria will ask me, is there any room in the truck? Because she doesn't believe going anywhere if there's any space left. If there's space, it will be filled. Amen. I'm going home now. Not wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But he's saying, Joshua, pay attention because you and your people have never been this way before. And I don't know about you, but I'm praying that we can cross over to a place we've never been before. Now if you're advanced in age, you might be saying, I like things just the way they are. Listen, if you want to live longer, experience something new, something exciting, go where you've never gone before. Do what you've never done before. Amen. Not sinful things, but you understand. Make sure it's holy. Praise God. Amen. I'm at that place where I always need to be careful. Amen. So we've never been this way before. Job 28 and 11. He says, he dams up the streams from trickling. What is hidden, he brings forth to light. The Lord's able to dam up. The Bible says, at a place called Adam, upstream, somehow he cut the waters off. And I believe he can cut them off at the source. They didn't see it, but God did it. Sometimes God will do what you can't see. And while whatever you're doing at the river, I can't get across it. I can't believe God brought this into my life. If you'll just be a little patient while you're sitting around waiting, he's already cut off the problem. Further upstream, the problem's been solved. You can't see it yet, but at some point, the water level's going to go down, and God's going to heal you. God's going to change you. Woo! Because he knows how to do that. Number whatever, three. The Bible says sanctify yourself. If you're going to go higher or a different place in God, you can't go with your baggage. Bible says you got to sanctify yourself. the men had to be circumcised before they crossed over. In other words, you can't go over with your flesh. Some things got, see, now I lost all the amens. I really lost the men. You were just a baby, get over it. Lord, help us. But he said, you can't go like you are. And let me just give you a warning. God's going to do some things in you before you can go to a higher level. You can't always go like you are. You got to lay some things down. Some things. I know you want me to make a list, but if I make a list and I don't hit yours, you'll think you're okay. And it's a long list. But you know what's holding you back. You know what's keeping you from getting closer to Him. Come on, don't fool yourself. There are some things you need to cut off. Titus chapter 3, from the Message. It wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn. Easy marks for sin. Ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, He saved us from all that. It was all His doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath. And we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with Him and given us back our lives. And there's more life to come, an eternity of life. You can count on this. Give God a good praise. Woo! Amen! Number four, I'm almost done. You need to understand this. You need to follow the presence. You need to follow Him. You can't get where you want to go without Him. Bible says that they took the Ark of the Covenant, which held the presence of God, and they went ahead of everyone else. I like this. I like the part of Scripture that says, when the toe of their foot touch the edge of the water. You know what that tells me? You do have to take a step. I know some of us are like, well, I'll go and eat parts. No, you got to start walking. That's why it's called faith. You got to trust it when you can't see it. Go when you don't, where you don't know where it is. Just start. Say, I don't know what to do. Just start. Walk. Go. Do something. Say, I don't know what to do for God. I'm waiting on a revelation. My God, you got the Bible. Read your Bible. The Bible will give you all kinds of instruction that's good for everybody. There's things everybody ought to be doing. Just start walking. God, I've said this before, God cannot steer a car that isn't moving. If you'll move, He'll steer. How many know power steering doesn't work if the power ain't on? Follow the presence. Follow the ark, Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. He sanctifies, He cleanses, He washes. Follow Him. Psalms 29, I love this from the Message. Above the floodwaters is God's throne. There's floodwaters sometimes in your life, but above the floodwater sits his throne. That means he's Lord of the flood. May not feel like it, may not seem like it, but he's Lord, from which his power flows, from which he rules the world. Yeah, the throne of God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, it's interesting, Noah's flood. Wow. And the more I study this, the more excited I get about Noah's flood. It probably bore some of you, but I could preach a whole series on Noah's flood because it wasn't really that long ago, and we see evidence of it today. Sometimes I'm driving down the road and say, oh, I think Noah's flood did that. We see it everywhere we go. Noah's flood. It was a flood. It was judgment because of the violence and sexuality of this world. But watch this. Whew. After the water stopped falling, the rain, and the water from the deep stopped coming up, and the waters began to recede, the Bible says he sent a wind. Genesis 8:1, God's heart was moved with compassion as he remembered. Say, he remembered. He remembered Noah and all the animals. Yeah, God even remembers the animals. Come on, puppy dog. Amen. Large and small that were with him in the ark. Watch this. And God caused a wind, ruach, to sweep across the earth again, and the waters subsided. The wind was necessary to dry up the land. After a trial, sometimes we're wounded. Sometimes we're weak. Sometimes we're hurting. Come on. We've been through a lot. We're like Jacob. We're walking with a limp. We've been in a battle. But I'm here to tell you, after the storm, he'll send the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the healer, the restorer, the revealer. God, hallelujah. I have felt like dancing all morning. He will, it ain't pretty. But he, what do I care if you like it or not? Amen. If it makes me feel good. I think I just made a touchdown. Glory, say glory. He'll send the wind. He'll send the ruach. Last point is this. I want you to get this. The river is not pleasant. The trials of this life. But chances are God's wanting you to get rid of something before you can cross over. I have a word for you. I want you to get this. We don't like the river. But there are things you need to leave in the river. I'm here to tell you, leave it in the river. The worry, depression, doubts, sickness, attacks, the way people have treated you, your past, your childhood, come on, the way your daddy treated you, or some abuse from the past, I'll leave it at that. Maybe it's just a sickness. Maybe it's a financial trial. I have a word for you. Leave it in the river. Let it wash away. He said the word washes away. Quit hanging on to some things. Sometimes I pray for people up at the altar. And in reality, they're getting sympathy. And they'd rather have sympathy than healing. I'm not here to pray for sympathy for you. I want to pray for your healing. Let it go. Let it go. It's not worth hanging on to it. And I know sometimes you say, I can't. Listen, it's a choice. Do it or not do it. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you you can't. Can't let it go. There's no way. No, maybe you want to hang on to it. Deep down. God, I feel the Holy Spirit. It's time to cross over. But you can't cross over until you let it go. Let it go. Let go of your past. Yeah, he hurt you. Yeah, that was ugly. Yeah, that was a hard time. Let it go. Let it go, because you can't cross over until you let it go. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. I feel the connection. Holy Spirit, touch us in this place. Would you stand to your feet? Praise God. Whew. We put some steps here. There, the number's not important, I guess, but there are 12 steps here. Don't have to hit them all, but this is the river here. This is the river crossing. And if you're willing to let it go and cross over to a place of healing, to a place of hope,